Right, let's take our hymn books this evening. If I can just find this. There we go. 247 will be our first hymn. 247 is Saved, Saved. There we go. 247. I find a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin. Secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. When poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, come unto me, and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Amen. That'll certainly get your tongue working around some of those words. 319 next. It's good to be saved, and once you're saved, it's good to have a closer walk with the Lord. So 319, just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Snares. If I fall
Come on, you up and read for us, please.
This evening's reading is from the book of James, chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Ye have respect for him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit there, sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name of by the which ye are called. If ye fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of two persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law of transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend it one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if you commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and do so as this, and that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he that hath judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If our brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of ye say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou livest, and there is one God. Thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Is not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son unto the altar? Seest thou how faith brought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed in him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And now I'd like to read chapter 3, because I actually was given chapter 3 and I read chapter 2. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the great condemnation. For on many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, with whosoever the governor listeth, even to the tongue of a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity, so is a tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. But every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith blessed we God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men, which are made after the simile of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be so. Ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of fine figs, or can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without particularity, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. Amen.
If I said it was actually chapter 4, are you coming back up? I don't know which one it is. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. It's might be the best part of the evening, actually. You never know. As long as it's taken from the Word of God, it's all good. All right. It's prayer request time. Does anybody have any special prayer requests that they'd like to give a few details of? If you don't, if you have prayer requests that are private, I already have everybody's name underlined here, so if that hasn't changed any, we'll just keep those. Anything in particular that we need to be made aware of? All being well, we're having a surveyor come round to survey the land in the next few days, so please do pray for, I think his name's Robert Gurley, and the whole situation regarding the purchasing of the land. we had a note from my solicitor, who had been speaking to their solicitor, to say that they were going to need articles of the charitable numbers of the charitable something or other in the church, because we were getting the land at such a good deal, if you know what I mean. And I filled them in and said I would be reviewing the valuation of the land and would get back to them at the soonest possible time, which will probably be early next week. So just want for you to pray about that. Might even be tomorrow. He might turn up tomorrow. You just never know. But please do pray about that. We miss Ling. Frank, of course, still in London. Will and Christine. Don't forget him. Leonard as well. He hasn't been well for goodness as long as he's been at the church. There's an awful road accident and he's just been slipping and sliding ever since. But he did, in his simplicity, I believe, ask Jesus Christ to be his saviour. And he was very faithful on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings whenever he was able. But he's up in the Milesium rest home in Macrofeld. So please do pray for him. Please do pray for Esther, for Pat and Steve as well, and for Carol and Stephen at this time as well. Just want to remind you again, Christy already prayed for folks that had lost loved ones, but Naomi Ritchie, that would be Will's sister-in-law, her Aunt Beth passed away there last week. So if you would pray for that family as well. Pray for another friend of Christine's, that's Beryl. Her daughter has arthritis and is very bad with it and is not saved. Please do pray for her. Of course, that family that is connected to Will's boss lost a mother, Gemma. Not her mother, a daughter-in-law, left behind some small children with, I think it was cancer as well. So please do pray for that family too. Amen. Don't forget to pray for our countries. They really need it. Britain and America, most of all, it seems to be the last bulwark against not even liberality. I'm all for liberality, but for socialism, communism, and a great wickedness and persecution of anybody that dares to think for themselves and speak up with opposing views. Please do pray for the world right now. This is literally turning into the world the Bible spoke about before the Lord would come back. Please. The Bible says, don't be afraid. It's been written like that and it's been preached this way for decades and lifetimes, so that we can be ready whenever these things do happen, that we don't have our faith in all of the things that can be taken away, but that we have our faith in Christ. So please remember that. Please remember that. Pray for each other. Don't be afraid to pray for what you want yourself. The Lord said, remember your daily bread. Don't forget, your daily bread is the things that you meet during the day. That's your daily bread and everybody else's daily bread. Please do pray for that. Are there any other thanks? We have for Monica's mom, the procedure went well. And for Lydia and the baby, both are well. Whose was that? That was Christine's connection. Any other thanks? No. Okay. Pray for folks to be saved. Amen. We're supposed to be having a visitor at some stage in the near future. We had a gentleman come visit years ago. His name's Gareth Crooks, and he could be visiting with us over the next week or two. So pray for the Crooks family as well, if you would. Right, nothing else? All good. Get to praying, get to singing, get to preaching, and get to home. Let's pray, and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. And Lord, it is crisp and it's cool, but Lord, it's good to be out and about. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I know we're down in numbers a wee bit, Lord, but I pray for your good hand upon upon each and every one of our brothers and sisters, Lord, especially the folks around the church, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Norman and Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, Lord, for Anne and Eddie, for their grandson as well, Mason, for Sally, for Kate. We pray especially for Pearl at this time and her health issues, Lord, and for Alan and Leslie, and for all of those that listen in. Father, I pray your good hand for conviction, for salvation, for edification, for comfort and strength, just whatever, Lord. And we don't forget, Lord, those that are mourning the loss of a loved one. It just doesn't go away like that. It might come off the list in a few months, Lord, but that just doesn't take away that just doesn't fill in the missing part, Lord. And I pray your good hand upon, Lord, each and every one of our brothers and sisters that has lost a loved one. But Lord, we have that blessed promise for those that love you, that we will see them again, and maybe sooner than we think. Please, Lord, I pray you comfort and strengthen, and no matter what's going on around and about us, let us always remember to keep our eyes upon you. Please be with Esther and Pat and Steve and Ling and Dr. Shang as they deal with self-isolation at home, for Carol and Stephen, for Leonard, for Will and Christine, for the rest of the family there as well, Lord, especially for William and Rachel, for Lillianne, and for young Aaron, Lord. A whole bunch of stuff going on. Please, Lord, I pray you really squeeze the hearts and minds of those that are walking the corridors of power here on earth, Lord, especially in Britain and in America, Lord. And I pray you, please, that things would not be that far gone, that there wouldn't be a victory. Not a victory for Republicans, Lord, in America, or for unionists here, but a victory for what's right, Lord. We know, Lord, that the rot and wickedness has crept in everywhere, and I know you said that there would be spiritual wickedness in high places, and Lord, we have it. We have it. Please, Father. We know these are not the days when the Holy Spirit has been taken away, still there, still convicting and still saving, and I pray you, Father, for your good hand on people's hearts and minds. Please, Lord, remind souls of snippets of the gospel, of some of those good old hymns, a Sunday school lesson, a message preached in the street or in a church. Please, Lord, convict and save souls, especially our countrymen. And those that we know around and about us, Lord, let us not be backwards about being forwards when it comes to telling souls about Christ. Lord, I pray for your guiding hand upon the purchase of the land, for the maintenance of the church, for the vehicles, for all of the things that we have in front of us, not just tonight, but Lord, as the days and weeks and months and years go on until we meet you in the sky, pray you please, Father, that you would cleanse us and refresh us and strengthen us and encourage us. And help us, Lord, to keep our minds upon you. Just love you and thank you. And we pray, Lord, for many private prayer requests that we have, not just here, but for Brother Stan and the folks up in Bangor too, Lord, and all the preachers everywhere. We leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Right, let's take our hymn books again. We'll sing another song, and then we'll be opening our Bibles in Revelation 18. Hymn number 41, Sweet By and By. If you'd like to take and turn there, we'll stand if you're able as we sing in the Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fair. Sweet by and by.
put your hymn books away and take your Bibles out now and turn to Revelation chapter 18 with me, if you would. I want to spend a few minutes on the subject of to God be the glory or God's glory. And we're reading from Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Amen. Amen. We appreciate the reading that Norman brought us, or the readings that Norman brought us today. Appreciate each one of you guys being here too. Please do pray for absent friends and absent brethren. Amen. All right. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls of fine linen, and purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron and marble. And cinnamon, and odors and ointments, and frankincense, and wine and oil, and fine flour and wheat, and beasts and sheep, and horses and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. The mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Amen. First part of verse number 7 up to the comma is our text this evening, where the Word of God notes about Babylon, that great city, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. That is our text. We're talking about God's glory. And this is where we're at. Christy, would you lead us again in a wee word of prayer, if you would, please?
Focus of thought and mind, Lord, to guide of each word to be spoken, Lord. And I pray the open ears, open hearts amongst us, Lord, for discernment amongst us as well, Lord, that you would teach us in your word this evening, give wisdom, Lord, to each. And we pray and ask that souls would be helped and needs would be met here, and Lord, our listeners as well, Lord, that you would use discernment to see the lost saved, Lord, to see backslidden back to you, Lord, and see, Lord, a Christian strength as well. Please just accomplish your will and be with her sister churches as well at this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. A little bit of background before we get into the preaching proper of the message, but this is the second half. If you want to read the first half, people are not encouraged to read the book of Revelation, but if you read Revelation 17 and 18, you will read of the destruction of the great whore of Babylon, what they call the mother of harlots. By the time you go through it all and you do the mathematics and use your fingers and toes and do all that stuff there, and even just read what the Word of God says, it actually explains it as it goes along. There is no other institution on the face of the world except the Catholic Church that fulfills all the criteria to be recognized as Babylon the Great, mother of harlots. The sad thing about it is all those harlots that are talking about, it doesn't say that the mother produced good daughters. It says they produced harlots as well. All you got to do is go to the World Council of Churches or the ecumenical movement. You will find out exactly who all of those harlots are. All of those other religious institutions spawned by the Roman Catholic Church that are of the same mind. Anything for a buck. They would sell their virtue for a coin for money. And that's exactly what they have done. As we look at this portion of God's word, we see in graphic detail how the destruction of the Catholic Church affects all the hangers-on. And I do mean hangers-on because it is the only institution that has reached right the way across the world that I remember reading about the Catholic Church sending a letter to one of the great rulers, I can't remember, was it Russia or France, in an effort to sway them with this beautifully written letter with gold, and said, "This was delivered from heaven itself to you," and used that to sway this kingdom's ruler's opinion and sway them, bend them even to the Roman Catholic Church's will. That is the sort of shenanigans that they have been up to. Infiltrating churches didn't stop whenever Paul the Apostle got saved. Churches have been infiltrated by people working on behalf of the Catholic Church to destroy forever the doctrine of salvation by faith. And we'll refer back to that. There's been a lot going on. It talks about nations being drunk with the wine of her fornication. Kings of the earth have been swayed by her promises and even her wealth. And many, many men and women have been made rich selling things on behalf of the Catholic Church and, of course, taking their piece of the pie. But for all of this, there is one bright light in verse number 4, where there is a voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people." We were just talking about that on the way to church. For all the institution is doomed and everybody that clings to it will go down with it. The Lord says, anybody that loves me that's in the Catholic Church or in any of those other false pagan religions that's going to go down with it, get out of them now and you'll be saved. Otherwise, you are going to partake of her sins, of her plagues. So get shot of it. There's not too many places where it talks about the sins have reached unto heaven and God has remembered her iniquities. There's not too many people even get that amount of notoriety, but here we have it. It talks about institutions, it talks about countries, it talks about buyers and sellers, merchantmen. It talks about them standing afar off as they see this destruction happen. And it says it's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen in 1 hour. In other words, it's going to happen really quickly. It's going to catch a lot of people by surprise. They don't say, there's nobody noted there saying, "Well, thank goodness I sold all my stock and I'm free and clear." There's none of that. They're all standing far back and they're all weeping and wailing because all of the money that they had invested in the Catholic Church in whatever form or fashion it is, it's done. Properties invested in, done. It's all done. And I got to thinking, even as I was reading this, it talks about them standing afar off. And I was reminded of, you remember Peter, whenever the Lord was arrested, and he was warming his hands by the fire. I could do it here, except no fire, but you get the idea. Remember what they said to Peter? "You're one of those guys." He says, "No, I'm not." And he did his best to distance himself from Jesus 3 times. Here we have kings and merchantmen and many others distancing themselves from the Roman Catholic Church but still feeling the pinch because they had invested heavily in them. And I got to thinking, like, why is that? And for the first time, they do say there's, if you look hard enough, there's always a wee nugget of gold in the Bible. Even if you've read the same piece 12 times, you can always find something new. And I was thinking, why is that? Those verses and those few words in verse 7, it's for one action, because she glorified herself. Because she set herself up as God in place of God. And I got to thinking, that's just like Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, where the devil himself was cast out of heaven because he said he would be like God. And there's only one person like God, and that's God. There's no vacancies. God doesn't need a holiday, and he doesn't need a sub in to do the job for him while he goes on holiday. He loves us so much. He takes time every day to listen to us, to watch us, to take joy in us, to intercede for us, to do all sorts of things for us. Have you ever asked a mom that loves her newborn child, I was going to say, "Do you want a holiday?" Some of them might actually say, "Aye, I'll take a holiday." But if you ask them again, "Do you want to be separated from your child?" they would say, "No." I carried that little critter for 9 months in my belly. I'm glad to see him out. I'm glad to hold him in my hands. I'm over the moon to have a baby boy or a baby girl. Why would I want to be separated? I might want to be separated from the work that goes along in them, but I don't want to be separated from them, and neither does God want to be separated from us. There was never, ever a vacancy for that position. The devil, he wanted to glorify himself. He wanted to stand and sit in judgment on the sides of the mounts of the north. And he wanted to get to heaven his way and do things his way and lay down the law. In fact, he just wanted to be like God. He wanted to lift himself up. He said he used to be the covering cherub. And if you ever read his description, I think it's in Ezekiel 18:32, I think it is. I might be wrong about that, but it's in Ezekiel somewhere. It talks about him being covered in all sorts of like rubies and diamonds and emeralds and topaz and all. He's beautiful. And not only that, but he has music built into him. Not only does he look beautiful, he sounds beautiful. You ever sung a hymn that just sort of grabs your heart and lifts it up? Well, the devil can do that for people. Only instead of lifting them up, he's normally tearing them down. She glorified herself. And this is, we're not here to kick the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church or any of the other harlot daughters of the Catholic Church. We're here tonight to show the folly, the foolishness, the danger in lifting yourself up. But we're taking this as our example. How much she hath glorified herself, how much she hath lifted herself up in place of all the things that God has done and demanded all of the things that are due to God. I am greater. I am the greatest. Who was it? Who was the boxer that used to say was the greatest? Was that Muhammad Ali? That's what the Catholic Church is. One of the tenets of the Catholic Church is actually that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church, which is quite plainly a lie and is one of those things that I want to think on for a moment or two. She has said that I am greater than God, and yet she steals men's hearts and minds and destroys them. She said I am more loving than God, but yet in all lays immense burdens upon men's souls and minds. I am more giving than God, but as yet is one of the richest institutions in the world and has stolen more money from countries than any other organization on the face of the world, I think even in communist China. They used to say, in fact they probably still do, that the South of America would be one of the richest countries in the world if it hadn't been for the Roman Catholic Church. It's worth remembering, friends. What about I am more truthful than God, and yet so many of the teachings oppose the scriptures, the King James Bible. That's one of the reasons why there are so many other Bibles with all of these key doctrines like salvation by faith and baptism and the scriptures being the infallible first and last word of God. That's why so many have so many changes in them, because they're trying to undermine the power and the authority of the word of God. I can save better than God, but yet condemns believers in the Catholic Church to lives of fear and servitude in their efforts to save their own souls. That just doesn't seem as good as the salvation God's given. I comfort better than God comforts, and yet at every funeral the tears are real and bitter, because deep down in their souls those dear Catholic people know they will never see those people again. Even their own teachings say that. I pass on wisdom and knowledge better than God, and yet you are told not to ask any questions or think for yourself, and certainly don't go reading that Bible, you'll go crazy. I strengthen and encourage better than God, and yet everybody's afraid to step off into eternity because there is no one there to catch them. There is no one there to hold them in the palm of his hand. I have a purpose greater than that of God. What's God's purpose? To seek and to save that which is lost, that's men and women. What's the Roman Catholic Church's purpose? Is to perpetuate the Roman Catholic Church. That's it. No saving of souls. It's to make sure the institution keeps going. And it has always been God's desire to see men saved and in heaven. That's it. God's job is to save our worthless, sin-cursed souls. And that's why he gave his only begotten son. Not to build a kingdom, not to have mighty armies roaming across the earth, and not to corner the market in whatever little piece of merchandise people tried to sell. To save men's souls. Jesus said, look, if my kingdom was of this world, my followers would fight for me. Did he not say, I have 12 legions of angels that could literally walk in a line and kill every single person on the face of the earth? That is not God's intent. God wants to save us all. He is coming to set up his rule in the face of the earth, but it's to give people a taste of what they could have had the last 6,000 years. And he's not going to take years and centuries to set it up. It'll be set up in a day, and people will realize that when Jesus Christ sits on his throne in Jerusalem, in the center of the world, that he indeed is king. And he deserves all the glory. We'll have our part in it. We'll have glorified bodies, glorified by God. Again, his power. And we'll never be parted from God again. In the meantime, we've got our prayer time and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Does anyone remember the model prayer, John 17? Not John 17. Matthew 7, isn't it? For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I was reading this little bit from John 17 where the Lord was praying. And I just want to read you this little bit. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify you. In other words, help people to see that I am your son so that they may understand and know and bring glory to you for the great salvation that you've brought. Anyway, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. In other words, the Lord was taking off his mortality and putting on immortality, along with all the power and the glory that he had whenever he was seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, before he spent 33 years with us. It all belongs to God. All the amazing things that this world have belong to God, were created by God. Even the salvation for us, we really don't deserve it. That comes from God. And any praise and any glory and any worship is due to him. He gave us his word. He gave us ironclad salvation. He extends his love even to those that hate him. And the promise of his forgiveness too. His wisdom. His intercession, his providence, and even the prophecy that's in the Word of God. He put that all together. It wasn't a couple of men that thought it would be a good idea to prank the whole of creation and produce this book that keeps coming true thousands of years later. It's only God. He's the only one that's worthy. And it's not because he needs to be lifted up. It's because it's due to him. It's quite literally his. And whenever people try to take it away, that's when they run afoul of God. Remember when the Lord, at the start of his ministry and then towards the end of his ministry, he went in and he tipped over the money changers' tables and he chased all the animals out of the church. Because they were using God's house to make money. They were stealing what belonged to God and putting it in their pockets. Let's not do that. And let us not ever forget that any talent that we have or any matching up of genes that twists their way through our genetic structure is there because God let it be there. Everything you are, everything you have, everything that you will ever hope to be is all down to what God allows or God gifts you with. Make sure and thank Him and praise Him. And whenever the opportunity comes, lift Him up so that all men may see Him and come to Him. He deserves it all. I know we live in the days when we are told that everybody's the same, yet obviously some people are still better than others, depending upon your beliefs. Some people are still better than others, but God is so far beyond us, as America is from our seashores, that there is no way in this wide world that anybody rolling up their trouser legs at Benoone Beach is going to be able to walk to America. It would be great if you could. It would certainly save a lot of money, but there is no way it can happen. And there is no way we can ever aspire to justly keep the glory that should be given to God to ourselves. Or that any institution can ever do that. God deserves it all. For His patience and His love and His forgiveness and for more of His patience and for His long suffering, for His salvation. And whenever we say these things quickly, it just rolls off the tongue and it's easy to forget. But we need to remember the huge, intricate tapestry that has been put together by God Almighty to get you to where we are, to get Jesus from His throne in heaven, to be born into a mortal body, to live amongst us for 30 years, to fulfill hundreds of prophecies, and to give us even more that even today are being fulfilled. It is immense. And it's all down to Him. This great God, to whom we are only like grasshoppers, He stopped. He stopped everything for us. And He deserves to be remembered day by day and glorified and lifted up as the opportunity or occasion arises. So remember that. Whenever you start taking God's glory for your own, that is when you set yourself up against God. The sad thing about it is, there are no prizes for second place. If it's you versus God, you're going to lose. You're going to lose badly and you're going to lose completely. But the great thing about it is, there's still space on the winning side for whosoever will. So don't forget that. Don't forget God and give Him the glory. Even go out of your way to look for an occasion to give Him the glory. Amen. We're going to stop there and thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. I am happy to open the floor for a closing hymn request if anybody has one. I still have a bunch creased here. Does anybody have a hymn they'd like for us to sing? John? Norman? Christy? Four 110. Faith is the victory. That'll work for me. Let's stand as we sing. 410.
Encamped along the hills of 90 Christian soldiers rise and press the battle. Shall veil the glowing skies against the foe in veils below. Let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory. For comes the world. Him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name.